If you have your Bibles this morning, I'm just going to read one verse. I usually read from the King James Version, but this morning, reading one verse from the NIV. Would you stand, please? Reading from Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 3. Here the writer says, continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourself were suffering. Amen. And this is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. This is a tremendous day of opportunity to minister in Russia and Eastern Europe. In 25 years of ministry in that part of the world, we have never had so many opportunities and so many open doors as we have today. And we thank God for the opportunities and how He is enabling us to take the Word of God to that part of the world. During the days of communism, of course, the Bible was banned and publicly burned. I mean, if you were caught with Bibles during those difficult days, prison was automatic. Some people even faced the firing squad. It was impossible to carry Bibles in to those lands. How many times have I been stopped at the border and every Bible taken from us? I remember one time going to the border. It was a preaching mission. We were not carrying Bibles. But I remember how they ransacked the van that we had. First of all, they took us over a pit so they could look underneath the vehicle to see if there was any Bibles there. And then they made us empty absolutely everything out of the van. And they went inside. They took screwdrivers and put them in the vents to see if there was anything behind, and felt all of the interior of the vehicle, and then went through all of the materials or anything we had in the van that was all out the side of the road there. And I can remember one of the guards, he picked up my notebook that had all my sermon notes in it, and he was going through all my sermons. And the fellow, you know, he could read, or rather he could speak a little bit of English, but he couldn't read, and he didn't know what he was reading. And so at last he looked up at me, and he said, what is this anyway? And I said, oh, that's just some personal notes. And he said, oh, yeah, that's yeah, okay. Close them up, and that was the end. But you couldn't take the Word of God in. That's why it's such an incredible thing that today Russia and the Ukraine have made the unbelievable decision to adopt the Bible as their textbook and standard for moral behavior. Can you say amen this morning? Praise God. I shared this with you earlier, of course, but we rejoice at what God is doing and how He's allowed Dr. Fred Luzenko and Dr. Olga Luzenko and the Kindness Foundation to provide Bibles to place in all of the schools. Now, since we were with you, we've had the privilege of once again sitting down with Dr. Fred and Dr. Olga Luzenko, and they brought us up to date and simply have shared about the 100,000 Bibles that they have placed in the schools in Russia. Very, very thrilling. They said the only reason we haven't placed more Bibles is we don't have Bibles. We don't have money to buy Bibles. And of course, we have tried to help them, and you have helped us to place Bibles in schools in Russia. I was sharing this just a few days ago in a church in Pennsylvania. And after the service, one of the men came up to me. He said, I live next door to the public school here in the town. He said, the other day I saw the caretakers carry out the Bibles and place them in the barrel, and they burned the Word of God. He said, imagine, we're burning the Bibles, not leaving them in schools, and now Russia is approving the placement of Bibles in their schools. Well, in December, I was sitting in the doctor's waiting room with Ollie. She had an appointment. And all of a sudden, I got a call on my cell phone. And I picked it up, and lo and behold, it was a call from Moscow. And it was Dr. Fred on the phone. After he greeted me warmly, he said, "Jim, we've got a problem. We need help." And then he began to share with me what had happened in Russia. He said it was Christmas time, and he said, "We were anxious to promote Christianity and Christmas itself. So," he said, "we started a little plan of having some competitions in the school about Christmas, musicals and dramas." And he said, "We said to the students and the teachers, we will provide prizes for the winner." Listen to this. The prize for the winner was a copy of the Bible. Well, he said, it started off as a very modest experience, but he said it caught on like wildfire. He said everywhere across the country, in hundreds of schools, they're having these Christmas competitions. He said, now, he said, we have to provide Bibles for 5,000 winners. Can you imagine that? 5,000 Bibles at $10 or $12 a Bible means about $50,000 or $60,000. He said, "Can you help us?" Well, I'll tell you, I was so excited about what he was sharing with me, I said immediately we could. And that day, we wired several thousands of dollars to help provide Bibles for the winners of the competition. But as I thought about it, as I sat right there in the doctor's office that day, I could just imagine myself sitting in Moscow somewhere at Leningrad High School, and all of a sudden they're having the winners presented, and they call the winner of the male vocal contest, and they bring up Sergei Rakowski, and they say to him, "Sergei, you've won the trophy. You are the champion. You're the winner. Congratulations. And now here is your prize, a copy of the Word of God." Isn't that amazing? I mean, yesterday they were banning and burning the Bible. And today the Bible is a prize. It's a reward. It's something to be worked for. Praise be the name of the Lord. Can you say amen? Praise God. Well, I'm glad you're happy about it. I get excited about it. Friends, this is exciting. Countries of the world that have been closed to the gospel, now open and receiving the message of Christ. I got an email just 2 weeks ago from our pastor in Siberia, where I was a year ago, January. In the email, he reported how that they had just had the drama Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. Most of you have heard of that. And he said, "We had four presentations." And he said, as a result, he said, "We had 200 people come to the altar for salvation. People, first-time decisions." Wow! In the middle of communist Siberia. He said, "We want to give them all Bibles and New Testaments." I responded immediately. I said, "We will provide the Bibles you need." What a thrill to be able to provide the Word of God for new converts in Siberia. And then your pastor and I were over in Macedonia. We were there last, March or April. We were there because we were distributing several thousands of Bibles and New Testaments. We had ordered more than what they had, but at that time, we purchased every Bible and every New Testament that the Bible Society or anyone else had in Macedonia, and we delivered them to the various denominations. And how thrilling that was. Only 8 denominations in the whole country. 5 of them were there, and we had the Bibles all piled up against the wall, and then we had the pastors come and lay hands on the Bible and pray that God would use them to bring many souls to himself. One bishop said to me, he said, "This is the greatest show of unity, Christian unity, that I have ever experienced in Macedonia." Well, I just got home 2 weeks later, and I got another email from our representative there, a pastor by the name of Dean Manefsky. And Dean said to me in the email, he said, some of the churches and some of the denominations didn't know we were going to have Bibles to be given out. And he said, they want Bibles. Is there any way that you can help us? And so I wrote him back and I said, well, how many Bibles and New Testaments do you need? Well, he said, we need about 2,500. Well, that's a lot of money. And I said, we will provide them. But I knew there was no Bibles to buy, no New Testaments. We have to go and start printing them. They didn't have them there, so they said, you've got to call the United Bible Society in England. And so I called there, and they said, well, we don't have any Bibles here, but we will contact Korea, if you can believe. And so they're going to print the New Testaments in Korea, and the Bibles they're printing in China. You can't even take a Bible into China, can you? And yet they're printing Bibles in China. The Chinese will do anything to get some money, even though they won't let the Bibles come in. But we've got to wait several months. But what a thrilling day to be able to provide Bibles for people around the world in lands that have been closed to the gospel. Praise God. It's an exciting day, friends. 25 years we haven't had the opportunities we have today. I would say, never mind 25, 95 years, back to 1917 when communism first came into Russia and Eastern Europe. We haven't had an open door. Well, the other day, or a few days ago, I guess now, the Muslim mayor of Guvran said, if I had a gun, I would kill Pastor Anjo. Some of you have heard me talk about Pastor Anjo in the past. He's a pastor that we've supported now for some 20 years. He was the professional engineer who came to the Rodopi Mountains when there was no church. 1 million people, but not one Christian church. And he came there to open a church, felt led of God. You see, but when he came, his life was threatened. They knocked on his door and said, if you don't leave this community, we're going to kill you and murder your family. But he felt that he should stay. And it's been difficult in that Muslim area. But nevertheless, they have been able to establish the first Christian church. And we were there in October. Little church, not very large, maybe seats 50 or 60 people, but it was filled to capacity with people standing. And then we had the privilege of providing Bibles for those that did not have a copy of the Word of God. And then, of course, he's been instrumental in starting 5 or 6 other churches in that area. Well, all of that to say that Anjo has had his life threatened on more than one occasion. But it just happened that while we were there, we got the story in full. You see, this Muslim mayor by the name of Recep, his wife was a school teacher by the name of Silva. Silva was a Muslim, and she wasn't very happy with her religion, and so she wanted to try Christianity. But of course, there's no church around, no believer, no Bible, and so she gave up. But then somehow, a nurse from another community crossed her pathway and gave her a Bible and said, maybe this is what you're looking for. Maybe this is your answer. Now, the interesting thing is, she doesn't know where the nurse came from. She doesn't know where the nurse went or who the nurse was. Maybe the nurse was indeed an angel of God. We don't know. But God provided the message that she needed. Jesus said, seek and ye shall find. And she was seeking reality and truth and meaning and purpose and salvation, and God provided it one way or the other. Praise be the name of the Lord. Well, she took the Bible back to her home in fear of the Muslims. You've got to live in those areas to realize the threat. Took her Bible back to her home, and behind closed doors with the curtains drawn, there she began to pore over the Word of God. And although there was no Christian to help her, the Holy Spirit was there and spoke to her heart, and she gave her life to Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Praise God. Well, then she became fearless in her witness and began to witness to her family. A short time later, her son and daughter came to the Lord. Then her mother and her father. Then several of the neighbors that she was able to witness to. But her husband was a hardened Muslim. He was a mayor. He was a man of power and influence, and he would have nothing to do with the gospel. He was shocked that his wife would even consider Christianity. But Silva began to have Bible studies in her home, like a little church. But, of course, the husband didn't know anything about it. I mean, he was so busy looking after the affairs of the town that he didn't know that a church was convening right under his own roof. It was when our pastor, Anjo, became involved. He heard about this little group meeting, and so he went over to help them and just understand the scriptures and give some leadership. But then one day, the mayor, Regic, found out about the meetings, and he went ballistic. He came in and he took them and he threw them out of his home. And he said, there'll never be a church in my town as long as I am the mayor. And then he said this. He said, if I can get a gun, I will kill Anjo. He had an inordinate hatred for Anjo. He thought Anjo was responsible. Anjo, the pastor, was responsible for his wife becoming a Christian, for them having the Bible studies in his church, in his home. He really wasn't responsible at all, but he didn't know, and he thought, if I can just get a gun, I'll kill him. You see, this was a much greater threat to Anjo's life than ever before, because this was the mayor. And in that part of the world, the mayor has more power than anyone else. I mean, he banned Anjo from even coming into his town. He had that authority. And so Anjo lived under this threat that someday a sniper may take a shot at him and try to kill him. And then it happened. One day, there was a bang at the door. Anjo went to the door, and when he opened the door, there was the Muslim mayor, the man that hated him, the man that wanted to kill him. But instead of a gun in his hand, he had tears in his eyes. And he said, Anjo, will you forgive me? I've sinned against you and against God. And together they hugged and they wept, and Anjo was able to lead him to the Lord Jesus. How thrilling it was. Well, we came along just a couple of days, I think it was 4 days after that. And I was so anxious to meet with the Muslim mayor. It just happened. We didn't plan it. All of a sudden, the mayor was in Anjo's home, and I was there with the mayor, and what a thrill to sit down and talk with this former Muslim mayor who had accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. I remember so clearly because I had the privilege of presenting the mayor with his first copy of the Word of God. He was so excited to get his Bible, he hugged me, and he wept again. And I want to tell you, he wasn't the only one that wept that day. So thrilled to get a copy of the Word of God. I remember as I wrote in the front of his Bible to my friend Regic from Jim, Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. He wasn't concerned about my credentials or my degrees or my school or my experience. I was his friend. That's all he wanted to know. Well, that was fine. Well, then last summer when we were there, and it well could have been, Pastor, that you were walking down the street with me, all of a sudden there was a van that passed by. And the window of the van was open, and I heard someone calling out the window of Gouvern, Jim, Jim. Now, I don't know anybody in Gouvern. I've never been in Gouvern before, and I had no idea just who it was that was calling. But anyway, when I looked up, here it was the Muslim mayor. He was so anxious to see me. I didn't even know he knew I was in town. Anyway, I was excited to see him, but he seemed to be more excited to see me because he wanted to show me where he was building a Christian church in Guvran. Now, you've got to realize that Guvran is totally Muslim. You've got to realize when he was the mayor, he built two mosques in Guvran. And now he is building a Christian church. And so we went over to the spot, and all of us, your pastor and wife and Ollie and me and several others, and there we stood on the foundation with one wall partly up, and we prayed together that somehow God would allow them to complete the building, and that the building would be filled with people and with the glory of God. And as I stood there and as we prayed together, I thought to myself, you know, the mayor, he said there'll never be a church in this community as long as I'm here as mayor. But God said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I thought, well, there's a conflict here. Of course, the Lord always speaks truth. But then I thought, you know, really, the mayor's not wrong either. Because he said, I will never allow a church here as long as I'm the mayor. But he was no longer the mayor. His term had expired. And even though people told me we begged him to let his name run as mayor because he was a good man, he said, I haven't got the time. I've got to build a church for Jesus Christ. Praise God. I stood there on the foundation, and I thought to myself, one Bible. Maybe it came from a nurse, or was it an angel of God? Only the Lord himself knows. One Bible, and a teacher of 27 years, a high school teacher, gives her life to Christ. One Bible, and her son and daughter come to the Lord. One Bible, and a mother and father accept Jesus. One Bible, and a Muslim mayor becomes a Christian. One Bible, and a church is being built in a Muslim community. Praise God. One Bible, only eternity will reveal what has been accomplished by our giving and by our prayers and by our support of missions around the world. Now, I've got a little bit of competition, but as long as you listen to me, we're okay. Sunday school is over, is coming in, so we'll let them come right in here and get established. And I'm just going to take another couple of minutes, and I'm going to be done, so hold on, all right? Anyway, just think it's yesterday, and it's really only 11:15. Not 12, quarter after 12. I just want to share with you, I received a call from one of our pastors, and he told me about how that he was invited to attend a conference, to be the speaker at a conference in Tajikistan. I can't get that word out. Tajikistan, you know, Tajikistan. It's one of the former republics of the Soviet Union. When the Soviet Union broke up, the 15 republics became independent countries. Tajikistan is the poorest of them all. Size of Wisconsin, 7 million people, and just poverty-stricken. They make 2% of what the average Canadian makes. So you know, $1.50 a day. And they decided that they were going to have a great national convention, and so they did. And when they did, there was only 26 ministers that showed up. Now, the Assemblies of God in the United States, when they have a conference, they attract 15,000. 26 ministers, not very many. And yet, they considered it to be a miracle that that many would attend. And the teaching they found to be so helpful and profitable. Well, anyway, let me tell you about these 26 ministers. All of them were former Muslims. All of them had an incredible testimony of conversion. All of them had a horrendous story of persecution. But one of them was an amputee. One of them had a little church in the mountains, and he had to travel on his artificial leg, walking or limping along miles to come to the capital, to the site of this particular conference that they were having. This man, this amputee, had been a former Muslim, of course, and jihad, fighting in the holy wars. He was a man who was prepared to lay down his life that he might kill Christians or Canadians or anyone that wasn't a Muslim. He was ready to die for his religion until he met a man that many years ago had already died for him, the Lord Jesus. He became a committed Christian. And now they have decided that they are going to have a great evangelistic crusade in that area. They haven't had a significant religious outreach there in 1,000 years. When the pastor contacted me, he said, they're very poor. They need our help. And I responded immediately, well, we'll provide all the Bibles, all the New Testaments that you need, and have already sent them several thousands of dollars to get started. But I thought, why should it be that Christian people on the front lines, in the heart of the Muslim world, the communist world, and they don't even have the tools to do the job, they don't have the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, they need our help. And so we are providing Bibles. You are helping us to provide Bibles for people who need the Word of God. You know what the Bible says? It says, heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus speaking, but my word shall never pass away. And then in the book of Peter, it simply says that the flower fadeth, or the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God endureth forever. Hallelujah. And that's what they need, the word of God. This morning in our missionary giving, whatever's given to us today will help us to provide Bibles for these people in the heart of the Muslim world that are hearing the gospel for the first time. It will help us to provide Bibles for schools in Russia, for new converts in Siberia, for people in Macedonia, for people in Bulgaria. Thank you, Temple of Prayer and Praise, for being our partner and for helping us. Like I said earlier, only eternity will reveal what has been accomplished by your personal sacrifice and gift and prayers for missions. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege we've had of sharing once again the burden of our hearts with these beautiful believers this morning. We pray, oh God, that you would bless them. Thank you for their commitment. Thank you for Pastor Lush and his heart for missions and the board of this church. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us again today. We may pray that we may give, that we may even go, that your name may be glorified. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
All your ways are good. All your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone. Higher than my sight. High above my life. I will trust in you.